You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Hello, this is Bradley with the Screener Squad, ready to talk about a very hilarious Netflix show. Now, this isn't like another podcast where you have to wait week to week to discuss the entirety of something. No, we're all talking about the entire show of, and I'm probably going to sound super white saying this, hashtag Black AF.
Wait, we say the and hashtag with this?
Don't you say the hashtag? The hashtag's on
the hashtag.
You gotta say the hashtag.
You say the hashtag.
How will people know?
Yeah. Oh, damn.
You know, the hashtag is so popular, I believe it dates back to probably because of slavery.
Man, do you guys understand how awful it is to have a 40-year-old white dude be cooler than you?
Well, okay, Bradley, if we're talking about hashtags back in slavery times, they'd be pretty, you know, dark. Like, hashtag whip would have a totally different meaning.
Oh, my gosh.
I'll start off with the first black joke. Why not? Okay.
Yeah, well, I've introduced myself. With me, I have, and of course, everyone knows Doggett.
Doggett!
We got our veteran, Paloma.
Hey!
And joining us as well, oh my gosh. Yeah, could you introduce yourself? Who haven't I introduced yet? I'm terrible.
Oh, someone who needs no introduction.
There you go, Joshua.
Yeah, hey, how's it going, everybody?
This is an 8-episode series streaming on Netflix. You can binge it now. Episodes range between 24 to 40 minutes. Written and show run by Kenya Barris, famous for Blackish. Has everybody in this seen Blackish?
Yes.
Yes.
This, the first episode for me kind of took me by surprise because it was filmed so authentically almost, like, you know, being an idiot viewer, I'm like, this needs to be explained to me. Is this his real family? Are these actors? Is this one of those 80s mockumentaries I've read about? How did you guys feel about the setup?
Well, I automatically knew Rashida Jones wasn't married to Kenya Barris, so that helped.
Yeah, she's actually married to Paul Thomas. No, who is he married to? I don't know if she's married to anybody.
She's not married to me, and that's what's important right now.
Wow.
Well, it's a kind of, I guess, a mockumentary. Whenever his second eldest daughter, Drea Barris, is making a documentary about her family for her NYU school, kind of film school application. And her father's basically giving her a whole crew to film the whole family. And it's kind of about them filming her parents fighting and siblings quarreling. And it's kind of a little bit of like a darker version of Blackish.
No, I agree. Blackish is incredibly wholesome and heartfelt, especially with Anthony Anderson's almost teddy bear-like charm at the end. Kenya Barris, which I thought, and I'm always jealous when writers turn out to be incredibly hilarious actors as well, you know, Tyler Perry as well, I'm very jealous of. I don't think it's fair he can write and act that well. But what did you think about?
Do you have to act the Showboat?
Yeah, right? But Kenya Barris, his character in this, what did you guys think of it? Was it mean-spirited? Was it just an amazing, honest view of how parents actually are?
I would have.
And husbands? What do you think?
I just thought this was terrible. I'm just going to come out and say it. I thought this I thought this was ghastly to get through. It's frustrating because as someone who's watched Blackish and Mixed-ish, I thought there were points with this where I thought the family's a lot of fun. But everyone's so mean-spirited and the writing isn't even close to something like Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is clearly what they're going for. And I thought this just missed the mark over and over again. Because the problem is, Kenya, he's such a dick to everyone. And the way he talks to his kids, if someone lived next door who happened to be like a member of Child Protective Services, they would take his fucking kids away. Like, and he's talking to all the kids like this.
Well, I don't think you can take kids away from a millionaire, though.
Well, you know what? They should be able to, because he was he was a terrible dad until maybe the big problem with this show is that the first four episodes are so much meandering, and the show is having a huge identity crisis the whole time. It doesn't know if it wants to be more of a dramedy or be slapstick or be almost like a informed history lesson. And I think that's the stuff that works really well. All the history kind of subplots that they kind of weave in here, I actually found those really effective. I was like, okay, this is working for me. And I actually learned some stuff that I wasn't aware of, which was surprising. Rashida Jones, who I always love, Ann Perkins, playing, how do you say, Joya?
Yeah, Joya Barris. Mm-hmm.
So her and Kenya, at first, her relationship seems not terrible, but seems like they're kind of maybe figuring each other out. But then you realize how long they've been married, and I went, wait, if you've been married this long and six kids, you should kind of be able to vibe off each other better than you are. And it just seems like they're never happy with the other person at any point.
Well, yeah, they're both selfish. And that's the joke,
But see, I didn't think that was even really a joke, because it felt like the show was trying to get you to buy in the fact that if they hated each other this much, they could still build this incredible life for each other. For him to be this successful with a wife that hates him this much, I couldn't personally buy it. The only character I liked really was Andrea. I thought she was actually very charming, and she seemed like the avatar for the audience as far as kind of seeing through people's BS. But even the show kind of betrays her at the end of it too, when they go on vacation. And I just found the show really frustrating for most of it. I got a couple glimpses here and there of stuff that I liked, but
it is a bit confusing for some people. But for me, I kind of took it at face value, which was, oh, this is going to be a bit of a goofy family comedy with some awful people as the stars. Because Kenya Barris, he is a, how would I put it? I wouldn't say he's a hands-off father, except he is completely. And I wouldn't say Rashida Jones is a hands-off mother, because she's not. She's actually very much in her kids' lives. But she also fucks up a lot. It's the lives of rich people, but they're black, so it's different than what we usually see.
Within the first episode, I didn't get what I was seeing at all, because they were making jokes about their cars. He's like, man, look how expensive this guy's car is.
I got that from the moment it happened.
I didn't understand at all what was going on. I don't understand rich people concerns.
No, it's not just rich people. That's a little bit of rich person, but that's also show out problems where you have the money.
Because you have the other guy who's doing relatively well, who has a more normal looking car. But he's also quite wealthy himself as well.
So. I enjoyed the first two episodes where Kenya Barris's main dilemma is wondering, man, should I get rid of my chain or not?
Like, I didn't get it. Like, I was thinking, oh, no, you do you, man. If you like wearing the chain, you know, dress how you want. And was that the epiphany that he was looking for? I don't think it was.
No. And you're just slowly learning more and more that, you know, he is a bit of an asshole. Like, even the school project, they're like, you know, this probably isn't just going to be a school project. This is going to be sold something. And, you know, I guess the joke is, well, it is currently on Netflix. The best way I would describe this is unfortunately probably what some people would mark against it, is it's Blackish if you took away all the network aspects of it.
Yeah.
And made it a little bit more raw. And I wouldn't say it's so much of Curb, because Curb works on a special kind of magic, like an improv magic with like minor setup. Like, well, this mostly felt scripted.
What I actually liked most about it, I grew up on the family sitcom, Full House, Step by Step, Boy Meets World, Family Matters, all of that. Where at the end of the day, even if it was a serious like drug issue or alcoholic death from drinking and driving, everything was resolved with a hug, family ties especially. Just, here's a hug, Alex. Everything's okay. Oh, that's right, Dad, it is. And this doesn't do that at all. And I found that quite fascinating. Like, someone would say something almost a little heartfelt, and Kenya Barris would be like, no, that's corny as shit. Who taught you to be so corny, you know? And
I appreciated
that.
The show's a little bit more realistic. An episode could end with, maybe we should get a divorce.
Yeah. Exactly.
Obviously, Kenya Barris actually got a divorce.
Rainbow, from the mom from Blackish?
Yeah. Like that's based on his actual wife, and they recently got divorced. Some people are saying this is his way of working through the divorce.
I won't lose my TV wife here. True.
If this is his way of working through it, that explains it, because this was just not... This wasn't fun at all, and I'm just sitting there watching it, and the kids are there to be the comic relief, but the kids are so shitty to each other. I just got to a point where I went, this isn't funny, this is just mean-spirited, but the jokes for me weren't funny enough to be as mean-spirited as it was. I look at something like It's Always Sunny, which I love that show so much. I think as terrible as every character is in that show, you're able to laugh at how terrible they are. And the show really wants you to almost laugh at how terrible of a dad Kenya is until around episode 5, where him and Joya have this discussion from out of nowhere because she decided to write a book because she's a stay-at-home mom, but she used to be a lawyer. So she writes this book and they get in this whole argument about one-upping each other. It really just kind of felt like it came from nowhere just to lead to where we get to episode 8, which it could have been brave and maybe said, oh, maybe we'll have them get a divorce. But through all the shit they just put each other through, which you would think would probably at least lead to some sort of counseling or something, nope, just seems like they're fine and right back to square one. And that drove me insane the way
it's sort of like they say, like, yeah, fighting is healthier. It's when you stop fighting, they're like, well, it's okay to fight, but they're like fighting for the whole entire series. It's not like normal fighting, like once in a while. It's like pretty extreme fighting.
Well, it's not just fighting. I didn't feel like it's a conclusion. It's more like, hey, look, we're not like ready to like just toss it over. We're still gonna work on this. Like, it wasn't like a complete resolution, like all our problems are solved. Like, no, you still have like 6 kids and like the youngest one is 2. You're a long way away from this being done.
Yeah, it was a 6 kid family.
I accepted very quickly that these are both very self-involved people. I think, what episode was it where like the episode ends with them like thinking of whether or not they were gonna attend a key party or not? Gave me a little bit more, way more information about these people than like the last few episodes did.
But the problem,
well, that was so fun because it didn't end with let's have yogurt and give each other hugs. It was actually an interesting ending. Like, maybe we should attend that key party. Yeah,
but the problem is that the show wants you to root them on and root on the relationship, and that's
not true.
I think at the very end of the show, the way that it really just wipes away all the problems and arguments that they had, the show feels like it wants you to still be invested in them making it. And at the end of the day, I'm sitting there watching the show going, you guys need to go to counseling at best or to get divorced at worst, because honestly, you don't belong together. And the more that they talk with each other, especially even when they're on vacation, they're arguing. He goes ahead and gets a whole other hotel room just so he doesn't have to stay in the same room as her. And I'm like,
that's so petty.
It's a pretty bad room, too. And the group is like bunk beds and like horrible.
It's not a healthy relationship. And also, in the middle of the show, they even, like, the dad even says, okay, yeah, so I may have considered divorcing your mom a few times, but I would never do it. Well, yeah, I could, like, these scenarios could happen, and I could cleanly break away from your mother. The show breadcrumbs, not even breadcrumbs, the show, like, throws bread slices of, these people suck. Like, Rashida Jones talking about how she didn't want to buy a car, and then they show footage of her, like, just flooring the engine, honking the horn, saying, if you don't buy this car, I'm gonna fuck the next guy that does.
Well, yeah, like about the hypocrisy.
Oh, yeah, the hypocrisy, especially with Kenya Barris, where he spends so much about the show about talking about, like, black strength and, like, black pride and all this, and you go to his writer's room, and, like, there's, like, one black writer and his friend.
Yeah, and also he hides, like, all his, like, when he doesn't want to hang out with his family, so I think there's a kind of him wanting another kind of space.
But I have an important question for everybody. Well, what did you all think about the lessons? Like, not the show lessons, the history lessons.
I enjoyed that part. That was one of my favorite parts. It actually reminded me a lot of Blackish.
Yeah, that was my favorite part of the whole show.
Oh, there's various one-off jokes in the show that are hilarious.
I think so, too.
My favorite part of the show was when Ava DeRay and, you know, all the famous African-American creators and writers.
Oh, when they all started capping on each other?
Yeah. And it was also frustrating. It was from the trailers they showed. And, like, oh, the best part was, like, in the trailer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
And it was, like, the whole trailer? Episode, though, about critiquing things. And, like, what are we allowed to critique? And the black cinema, especially with black kind of filmmakers and actors. I thought that was very fascinating. That was, like, my favorite episode, probably.
I mean, it's no ride-along, too.
Let's touch on that. My favorite joke from that, Kenya has just seen this film, and it's by a young black director, and everybody this young guy talks to that has seen the film is like, genius, a film of the time. It elevates our people, our station. I feel seen. I feel heard. And Kenya and Drea, his daughter, their opinion is, wasn't that film shit? I'm pretty sure that was actually shit, and everyone's just afraid to say so. And that leads into my favorite joke when he asks the three white writers in his office, did you guys like that movie? And one of them says, is this a trick? Are you trying to bait us? Because I thought it was amazing. It was a tour de force.
It was properly cast.
Yes. So they had good actors in it. Well, they were actors. They knew their lines.
And the actors were beautiful. He's like, of course they were beautiful. They're actors.
Episode 5 is my favorite episode by far of the whole series. I thought episode 5 was great, which is why it made me so much sadder when I got where this ended. But that joke is so funny because that's something I deal with on my podcast is whenever I review a Tyler Perry film, I hate Tyler Perry. I think he's fucking terrible. And I always have like black people on Twitter go, oh, come on. Why aren't you supporting us? And I hate that argument so much. But I also know that's how white people feel sometimes. Like, you know, like if like when Black Panther came out, I know all my white friends were like, I love it. I'm like, have you seen it though? And like half of them hadn't. So
it's worse because that's how you currently feel during this review right now. Kenya Barris marrying Rashida Jones. It's all sci-fi.
It, true.
I think he did a very good job acting wise.
He was very natural. I wouldn't say he was a great actor. For the lines that he wrote for himself, he did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Well, yeah, like Woody Allen. He's not a great actor, and I'm not saying, you know, but he does a good job playing Woody Allen.
His most authentic performance is when he was talking about how amazing Black is.
honestly.
And watching it, too, and just, like, loving it.
The irony, though, is that him being a bad actor actually works to the show's benefit because it is filmed like a mockumentary, so you're like, oh, you're bad, but it's good for this format. But if this was a movie and not filmed in a mockumentary style, I thought he was pretty bad at points, okay overall. There were a couple scenes I went, okay, you're great right here. But overall, I thought he was hamming up a little too much.
Yeah, that's fair.
You don't like certain movies, people get upset. But I love that discussion because I think for black cinema and just black entertainment in general, because I've also been very critical of BET, it was really cool to hear at least that dialogue get started. That is kind of that unfortunate end point of if you critique certain black, you know, films or shows, you're automatically seen as, you know, not supporting the culture. So I like that argument was had. That did bump it up quite a bit for me.
I just want to say that I loved when they had the discussion in the barbecue with the, I think the uncle and the mother, or the uncle and the aunt or something, their sister. And they're talking about, like, how, when I didn't know the film, but they're talking about, like, how different films are sort of, it's sort of like the Tootsie, the Black Tootsie, or
the Juana Man.
So I thought it was very funny, and I thought it was like a good point, and I was like, oh, interesting, I never thought about it that way.
The show kind of hit the nail on the head here very aptly. Racism in this modern age is kind of out of control, and I thought they addressed it very well, especially with Joya Barris, the mother, explaining why she feels she has to prove she's black to people, when, of course, the very notion of that is silly. You don't have to prove who you are to anybody. The way she explains it, I think they call it flexing, to stop the white gaze, not white homosexuals, but white, G-A-Z-E, white gaze on people. And I can't relate to that problem at all, but I kind of empathized with it. Like, that would be horrible to feel like you have to put on a show to prove to people who you are.
So I work in customer service, and so I take phone calls all day. And I really sympathize, and I felt that because I've been told my whole life I don't sound black, my voice isn't deep enough. And that is the most, my sisters feel like this is the most irritating argument, especially when you hear it from white people. It's like, oh, white person critiquing my blackness, what the actual hell? And it's, I love that the show touched on that because it's a real problem that black people go through. It's really frustrating. I may have had a very drunk store run at 1 a.m. one time, and I got fried chicken and grape soda, and the cashier just stared at me, and I was like, God damn it, lady, don't you say a word. It's like, it was a great meal, but I felt it. I was like, damn it. Like, I am the stereotype right now, but...
And then hearing about some kid went out and bought Skittles, and now he's dead. And that's that. Maybe it was the hoodie. And I'm like, the fuck?
Yeah.
What did that news guy just say? I told the cop to fuck off this morning, and he said, yes, sir. Anyways.
Yeah, we can't do that.
No, I would never say that to a police officer, Mom. Let's move on. I could, is what I'd say. There's a scene, I don't remember what episode, but he's like, Look, I mean, of course you weren't aborted, but I mean, we got to consider all options, Drea. You know, that's what a responsible person does. Did I book some appointments with some abortion clinics? Does it matter? You're here, you know? And I don't know if I thought that was funny. And her reaction shots sold it for me. Like, that's really funny. And I also like their back and forth with this famous director, who I won't spoil any cameos. You guys can. But he's like, oh my God, did you just tell your daughter to fuck off? He's like, oh, no, it's our thing. It's our thing. And he's like, you don't respect your daughter as your thing?
So the irony, this scene is where I just start knocking this down lower and lower. Because Tyler Perry, Madea, is talking to Kenya about, oh, I don't care about what the critics say. I'm speaking for us. I'm like, I'm black. You do not speak for me, number one. Number two, clearly, you don't care about Rotten Tomatoes because Tyler Perry's movies have sucked for, oh God, how long has he been making movies? At least 15 years. Like, all his stuff is just terrible. So having him be the voice of reason to Kenya, I found the irony in that funny, but not in the way the show intended it to be.
Well, I mean, a playwright with a one-man show is now an international billionaire. Maybe not billionaire. Superstar. I mean, that's kind of inspiring, yeah?
Yeah, but the problem is, other people rarely direct him. He's usually in a wig, so I'm like, doing all that crap. And so,
yeah, he was pretty. I like her advice. Mm-hmm. He played Secretary Colin.
I'm gonna just call it how it is. The fact that Tyler Perry just basically said right there that he doesn't care about what critics think. That
I thought that was a good attitude for any writer to have, though, right?
Not for like him or Uwe Boll. No, like sometimes you're just not a good. Sometimes you're just not a good director or writer. Like, I have seen every Tyler Perry film. There is not one of them I love because I'm a critic. I review everything. That's why. But
I liked it.
There is not one Tyler Perry film I love. Like would even
not
be
why
strong.
Not Why Did I Get Married?
No, can't even give him that. Nope.
Aw.
Nope. You can go through them all. I'll tell you no every time.
Tajiri P. Henson is a treasure.
Okay, you know what? And that's that. If there's any credit I will give Tyler Perry, it's that. The fact that he's able to get, like, Derek Luke and Tajiri P. Henson and, like, Kathy Bates was in one of them. It's like, how is he getting these people that have talent to be in his crap?
Yeah, Derek Luke is incredibly talented. Yes, he is. Don't know why Hollywood missed the boat on him, and it pisses me off.
I agree. I thought the speech Tyler Perry gave was great, but it's who's delivering it I have the problem with. It'd be like Michael Vick. It'd be like Michael Vick saying, "Don't hurt your dog." It's like, okay, like you know who you are, right? Telling me this. And so yeah, that's having him bad. Talk about having integrity and, you know, lifting black people up.
Well, Tyler Perry's not a criminal.
No, I think he's almost killed black cinema. So, I mean, if anything, he should be.
Let's start revving up our final thoughts here. Paloma.
Okay. Well, I would say that I had mixed feelings. There's some parts I really enjoyed, like the fifth episode. And I also really enjoyed the whole historical speeches. I know that there wasn't really important, but I felt like it was something that was something Ken and Barris is very good at writing. And I think that there was some really kind of cute moments and some kind of fun moments. But then there was also some moments I'm like, not that funny or super uncomfortable, or like, I'm not quite sure if I'm supposed to care about any of these characters. I loved Drea. I think Drea was really good, and I really loved the concept of this kind of mockumentary, and I think it's very fun and something that when you have a comedy drama or dramedy or a comedy or straight-up comedy, it's good to have because it lets you kind of be a little have self-reflection. Probably give this a 7 out of 10, you know, really expensive jets, private jets.
Doggett, you want to give your 2 cents there?
Oh, yeah, of course, Bradley. Thank you for choosing me. Yes, hello there, everybody. My name's Doggett. I am a critic, I think. Not really. But I think one of the things I love about the show is it gets to my niche, which is I love watching creators make fun of themselves. And maybe that just tickles my fancy a bit more than some of the people. Because I watch a lot of Black-ish, too. So it's fun to see a show that is pretty much just making fun of it, of Black-ish. It is making fun of a network show by taking out all those elements and showing what, you know, there's no clean way of saying this. Writers are fucked up. This is the most realistic writing dad I've seen in a movie. They don't make pancakes in the morning. They will look you in the face and tell you, they kind of wish you were never born.
That writer's room they have in one of the episodes did seem a lot like an Aaron Sorkin leaked email.
No. And I enjoyed the actors here. I enjoyed the kid actors too. I joked earlier, but I actually thoroughly enjoyed most of the kids. And for six children, that's pretty good. Like, I even enjoyed the little brother who thought he was the big brother for the first few years of his life. It's like how they were talking about in the show, which is, you know, whenever you have a property that has, like, a majority of people of color, not even just black people, a majority of people of color, there's this instinct to you know, be precious with it and take it very seriously. And sometimes you barely even see people crack smiles in them. It's never bad for me or for younger people I know to see a show where it is just, hey, these are successful people of color. They're being shitty, but you know what? Sometimes you have to be shitty to be successful kids in America. And for that, I'm going to give the show 8 out of 10 sweatsuits that I will someday own.
Yeah, yeah. Joshua?
Yeah, the more you guys have talked about this, I'll be honest, like, I came into this with one score, and my score's gone down. Like, I just... The more I think about it, I'm like, man, can I tell... Like, if you want to watch a good black show that's going to go and teach you something, you can stay on Netflix. Dear White People's on there. Dear White People is excellent. This is not. This is barely passable, especially for the guy's pedigree. The Tyler Perry scene drove me nuts. I fully acknowledge I'm dropping a point just for that alone, because that angered me in a way I haven't even been able to fully express. I thought Drea was great. I great shout out for Danny, because I felt bad for Danny. Like, he's just in this shitty situation with this guy who's, you know, experiencing his blackness. And he's like, I can't say anything. I'm your assistant. And just, I felt so bad for Danny. I want to give him a hug. These kids are annoying. They shouldn't be married. And the show just does a really bad job acknowledging that and even kind of wrapping it up at the end. I just watched, just helped review Bruce Brothers, and I think I like this as little as I like Bruce Brothers, and I could not stand that show. This is a black show, but so what? Just because it's a black cast doesn't mean you should like it. Soul Point exists. Doesn't mean if you're black, you have to like that. It's just, this is really frustrating, so I'll give this.
Or does it?
It no.
Did you just compare this to Soul Plane?
I did indeed. And
how
actually,
dare you? How fucking dare you?
And you know what? And technically, this could actually be worse, because this guy should know better because he has some talent. So I'm going to give this 5 kids blowing up golf carts while on vacation.
that's pretty good. That's fair. I think Regina Jones is a comedic genius. I loved her character. I love when women get to act in more diverse roles. I'm so tired of the perfect mom trope. You know, usually the perfect mom trope has the mom being like, boy, being a perfect mom sure makes me tired. And being tired is okay. It's still not going the full mall of saying, no, it's okay not to be perfect. Shit. So I really liked how over the top and mean spirited she was. I think she's hilarious. I liked Kenya Barris too. I liked that he was mean. You know, this is probably cathartic for me. One of my favorite episodes was the baseball, when he tried to be a baseball coach. I know so many dads and so many people who are all like, well, if I was coaching the team, we'd be champions.
It's
just horseshit we say every time. I've said it too. You know, I don't know a thing about the sports that my kids love, and I pretend like it. Well, if I had to say, we'd be champions. And I like to see that he was making fun of himself in a way, showing that that is a nonsense thing that all dads say. And I like that it ended on that really soft, heartfelt, you know, be there for your kids. That's really all they want, not some sort of super dad or perfect mom, just to be there for them. You know, I relate to that. And that's honestly the most I can do, or any parent listening can do. I remember a scene from another movie when he's like, if you want to go pro, you can go pro. Don't let anyone tell you you can't. And that's stupid. You know, that's ridiculous. I've seen my kids, Jay. It's trash. He's not going pro no matter how much he believes. So I like that this family really brought light to how ridiculous sitcom families are. And that's the most I got out of it, other than the beautiful speeches made by Drea, played by Iman Benson. And anytime she bookended an episode with one of those heartfelt speeches, I really enjoyed that too. And yeah, they still ended on a really mean-spirited joke, even when she's done, and I kind of ate that up. I think it's funny. So I'm going to give this, I'll go, let's see, what have we talked about? 8 gold chains that he should have sold to 10 pawn shops.
Bradley, I just imagine you sitting your kids down and forcing them to watch Monsters University. Like, okay, kids, just remember, your dreams might not come true.
No, well, that's it. We've seen it. And I remember leaning to my wife like, this is kind of dark, right? I mean, should our kids already know, no matter how hard they try, their dreams are just dust in the wind?